Well, baby, you've been on my mind. I think about you all the time. Oh, I want to see your face.
Background in psychology. He was a psychology professor at CUNY for like 7 years. Background in forensics and layers that at the poker table. So basically, he's the guy to spot your tells at the poker table. Like, what are your leaks and what have you. But so he does that in poker. So he has two companies in that. But then he has another company that he's really pivoting more into called the Nonverbal Group. And that's how I met him. Yeah, that's how I originally met him. We actually worked on that together. Then I was a part of the study that he did for poker players from the behavioral perspective. Which was really part of the impetus behind my whole sleep breakdown because we were so stressed. We've been together for like 11 years. It's been so fantastic. And but during that period, it's like the entrepreneurial highs and lows.
Molly, you, so just so before we get started, is there anything you don't want me to touch on? Obviously, I won't say anything about your mother, but is there like, is there something?
I want to have a nice happy medium of kind of what you guys are doing. Like, I want to have a little more, you know, banter. I'm working on that because, you know, I'm now, I think, a few episodes in. And so, like, some of that kind of tailored way, I'm starting to break out of that a bit. I think there's a long time of how much of me do I want to have in here? Do I make it fully a spotlight?
But you're
on
the brand, Ma. And we'll talk about that in the podcast. I think what we're doing is sleeping around the podcast. It's your name. And what I told TP, what I love about you is I know what I get when I get you.
Yeah.
You already said it.
Oh,
now, how you change it to a live shot versus, you know, video is going to be your transition.
Oh, well, thank you. And I appreciate what you said when we were there. By the way, does anyone want a ketone shot?
You damn right, but I want to do it on air.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Hey, go get some shot glasses. Go get some Texas shot glasses.
Can you tell me what the purpose of a ketone shot is?
Yes.
Not yet. Wait.
I can.
Okay, we're rolling.
Oh, we are.
No, we're not rolling yet, are we?
We're rolling.
Are we rolling?
Rolling. Okay, no, let's do this.
But we'll do our ad read and everything. But just go ahead.
Okay.
Answer the question. We can jump into our ad read in the middle, even.
Okay. Stop touching the mic. Look at these shot glasses.
Oh,
all right, let's do ketone
shots.
Do
you?
Does it sound muffled if I touch my mic?
That's what he's doing. He's touching the mic.
Does it sound muffled? Is that good? If I touch my mic like this and talk, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Is it?
How about when I talk back like this away from my mic? Can you hear me okay?
You sound exactly like you're far away from the mic.
Okay.
I can hear you. Sounds appropriate.
All right. Yeah. Nice. Is there any more things we need to do before we get started?
What does it sound like if I lick the mic?
Gross.
Oh, there we go. Ice cream cone.
It shocks him.
Oh my God. I literally just threw up in my mouth.
There's something called misophonia, something like that. Where like people who
I think it's called mesothelioma, like lung cancer.
Like when people touch the mics, it like freaks some people, like gives them.
Really?
What is that? Where they whisper?
No, you know what I have?
No, there's a form of where they whisper and they
ASMR.
ASMR.
There's something else though where you're I call it ADD, but it's actually a diagnosis where when you hear things like small noises in faraway places can cause you to just go berserk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like if I was sitting in a chemistry lecture in freshman year of college with 500 people in the audience and I'm in the back left-hand side and somebody in like row 4 on the edge on the right-hand side, way on the other side of the room was chewing ice.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it.
Wow.
Clicking a pen. Yeah. I can hear it. And I want to take the ice out of their mouth and shove it in their eyeballs.
Oh, man.
Or like take the pen out of their hand and stab them in the heart.
It's like,
do not buy clicky pens for people in lectures.
So what you're saying is when you had your finger in that man's mouth, you meant die.
Had this, my fingers in this patient's mouth and I'm going, muerta, die.
Oh, die.
And the patient's looking at me and the eyeballs are like this big. Die.
So quick question.
What's that called?
What is superpower?
Do you know how to sell a deaf man a duck?
How do you sell a deaf man?
Want to buy a duck? Did you get it?
I was going to say you roasted and put it in front of his mouth.
Do you know how to sell a blind man a duck?
That was best.
Do you know how to sell a blind man a duck?
Yes.
what are you giving me? What
taste that.
All right, what the heck? Huh?
Yeah.
I was in college.
Yeah.
Slurping. Man, right out of Japan.
Isn't that good? That's that LMNT.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that.
All right, so Molly is our guest, but we're going to start off with a shot to begin the show, but a good shot.
Okay,
Molly,
tell us what the shot is. Tell us why and what a ketone shot is.
Okay, so first of all, I have no affiliation with any of these companies that have ketone shots. There's a bunch of them, but they're really interesting because the thinking is instead of needing, part of the philosophy or the thinking is that instead of having to go into ketosis and all that goes into that, that you can take an exogenous ketone and then it's kind of bioidentical and that you have some of the symptoms of being in ketosis in a positive way.
Got it.
So essentially it's like the reason that this particular company got this military contract is to look at how that might be helpful in kind of high stress settings and what that could do for your performance.
Okay.
So I've become partial to them before podcasts or things that I'm like, oh, I gotta do this, but I'm not quite having the energy. Then suddenly,
I just smoke a lot of weed.
Well, that's definitely.
So you take a gummy,
And you get the same effects of ketosis.
I don't know. Let's try it.
So what are the helpful benefits of ketosis that this is supposed to
ketones?
Yes,
that this is supposed to replicate or duplicate or.
So it's supposed to be in alignment with one of the premises of ketosis and why you would go through all this work to kind of get into ketosis is that instead of burning sugar for your fuel, you're burning fat. And the thinking is that this is actually really helpful for our brain function. So a lot of from a neuro perspective, you might go into ketosis for seizures, for kind of brain health in general, but a lot of people will do it for this kind of heightened awareness state. And if you think of it from an ancestral perspective, the thinking is like feast or famine periods. When you would go through these famine periods, because you wouldn't be eating for so long, you would go into ketosis and then you would have heightened alerting systems. Yeah. And you'd be able to kind of, you know, find the animal and shoot the animal faster and kind of survival mechanisms.
I love you. Okay. This is why you got to watch her podcast. Oh, she is.
I'm going to be.
What? In trouble?
So fucking alert and aware after this ketone shot.
Because
I had NAD
today. You had NAD?
I did NAD.
You're going to be next level.
I did vitamin push. I'm hydrating like a motherfucker. This ketone shot is going to put me over the top. You guys have no idea.
No cocaine.
Get ready.
Feel free to bang off 50 push-ups.
Yeah. No. Here he goes. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's go. Come on, handsome Dan. You got him. Catch him, Dan. Catch him. Catch him. How much testosterone can we have in the room in front of a lady? Let's see. And it looks like Dan's still good. Yes. Hey, by the way,
America bullshit.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you. Great job, guys.
Yes.
Great job. Way to really set the bar for our podcast. We start off with push-ups. Let's do a shot.
Exactly. Let's do the shots. Okay.
Pour it up.
I always just double dose whatever I'm taking, so just do double for me.
More.
Yeah.
Do more.
Hey, I'll take healthy. Is this an aura ring?
We'll get there.
All right. So many things.
You say it in the mic so I can do it better.
All right.
Okay.
Cheers. Thank you, Molly, for sleeping around.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
With us today.
Yes. You're going to come on my podcast too.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh,
right.
Ketones taste awful.
I know. What they're saying is it tastes like it's working.
No, yeah.
It's kind of the same.
Yeah, that reminded me when I was a kid.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, and they're notoriously bad. Dom D'Agostino, if you've heard of him with Peter Attia.
Yeah.
Two of them will just go back and forth about the experience. Yeah.
Man,
I need Molly, what's important is that you're here, and I have been stalking you, reaching out to you when you weren't even
feeling is mutual
in this area. And I said, when you said finally, I worked on her long enough to where she said yes, because she's moving to Austin with her fiance.
All about it.
And getting just to actually finally get to meet you was just so awesome at ASM.
Same.
We share a friendship with Teresa.
Yes.
Who is also on our podcast and a friend of ours. But we also share a lot in common as far as travel but your advocacy is what I appreciate. Mm, and in a perfect world, I would hire you to come on our show once a month and just do what you're so good at breaking down products that have to do with sleep. Your interview skills are impeccable. So during this during our little podcast, what I would like to do today, Molly, is introduce you to our audience. Get a little bit of your background, which I just found out more, which is blowing me away. The Vegas, the poker, all that stuff. A little bit about your education, then your future. You are now an Austinite.
Yes, Austinite.
And so getting to meet this guy, getting to meet Handsome Dan, who knows podcasting, if you need help with anything.
Great.
Me, I'm just, again, I just bring people together. And speaking of bringing people together, you are the one of the official last people to be in this said studio. We are so honored. Yeah, we're so honored, and we'll have you on there. We are moving to the AC Hotel Austin Hill Country. We are partnering up with them, and the Sleeping Around podcast will be filmed from there. Handsome Dan has done an amazing job of doing a preliminary layout. Dan and I will be in charge of kind of doing some rough cuts before we have our official first guest over there. But we're excited to team up with them. They're a great place. Brandon's the one who turned me on to them. We've actually already interviewed Charlotte, who is their general manager, who's just been amazing. And so can't wait to have you there and your fiance.
Love that.
They have a great club up there, Violet Sky, which soon will have the drink, the Handsome Dan. And they'll be the official bar of Sleeping Around the podcast. So we're so blessed to have you here. We're so blessed to partner with them. Brandon, you have anything you want to add, brother?
No, just looking forward to it. And a great hotel. Love AC.
It's a good hotel.
I did not know it was Antonio Castellon.
Castellon.
No, Molly, thank you for coming today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All the way from downtown Austin.
All the way. I know, on an ill-fated Uber ride.
Slumming it south with us here.
But you haven't been here that long.
No, we're talking two weeks and change. And loving it already.
Brand new. Most recently from Vegas.
Yes, most recently from Vegas. Was in Vegas for all of the, you know, kind of lockdown and what have you.
Good news is we didn't have COVID here in Texas.
Yeah, I know. So I know. Here, Florida, whole other ball game. Yep. Absolutely. And so, yeah, that's where I was previously. Had been in New York for about a decade. And then grew up in Maine. I don't know why I'm telling you my whole life story.
That's cool. Love it.
This is the track of me. But yeah, now so happy to be in Austin. We were digital nomads, my fiance and I, for about 3 years. So hopped all around and kind of were testing out different places as possibilities to live in the future. And so far, Austin has really fit like a lot of the, you know, or checked a lot of the boxes, if you will.
Yeah. So. Austin is such a great town. I love it. I know it's changing. I know that it's growing.
Yes.
And so I think there's this always this fear because every big city grows.
Yeah.
And there's this fear that we're going to lose our way and we're going to lose the old feel of what old Austin is. And everybody says it is. And it is. And it changes, but it doesn't have to change completely. And change is good also.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, you know, with change comes opportunity. Mm-hmm. But we've done a good job of maintaining our park and rec space, maintaining our culture, maintaining our music, or maintaining, you know, all those things. And we've added more good restaurants and things like that. So it's a great city. I love it. It's good for families. It's good for singles. It's good for professionals. I love it here.
I'm a big fan for a couple of reasons. When we started shooting the podcast last November, they had it like a homeless issue. I mean, I was getting nervous. I'd go down by the river and it looked like just a sea of tents.
Yeah.
And unlike any other city that I've been a part of, and I've traveled quite a bit, man, I would say within 2 months, gone. Now, I didn't ask too many questions. I'm not being mean. I could just remember it kind of coincided with Joe Rogan coming down here, him saying a few words on his podcast, and they were gone.
Well, there was a huge, and this was interesting because, and just so you know the history of this, because you maybe weren't aware of this, but our city council can be frustrating to deal with at times, especially if you are business minded or business friendly, because they almost like to do things that are anti-business. And so they definitely tend to be leaning left and progressive, which is okay in some aspects, but when it comes to, you know, safety and the economy and things like that. And so they had this idea, they got rid of the homeless camping ban. So all of a sudden all the homeless are out. And then they had this idea, well, we should go to cities like Portland and Seattle and San Francisco and kind of see what they're doing about the homeless problem so that we can implement that here. Mm-hmm. And of course, anybody who's been to San Francisco, Seattle, or and seen their homeless issues are like, why the fuck would you duplicate that here? Like
they did.
That's not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So it actually took a huge effort by a group called Save Austin Now, and we'll just have a shout out to Save Austin Now. Yep.
I didn't know about that.
Who was kind of a grassroots organization that formed a campaign and had the city behind it, and they brought it to, they had to get so many signatures. It actually had to go to a vote by the people to get the city council to reenact the homeless camping ban, which now would not allow, because we had, you know, if you had a business, it was perfectly fine for homeless people to just sleep on the ground in front of your business where people were trying to walk in and out of your business, and crime was going up and all these other things. And so I again, thank you, Save Austin Now.
And where you live now, you should have said, I mean, it was a C.
Because we, so we had a vote, and almost over 65, 70% of the voting populace voted to reinstate the camping ban. And so they've really cleaned it up.
Yeah, and I heard about that vote. I didn't know the evolution, the Save Austin Now and all that. So that's great to know.
So you came at a good time because we had a rough couple of years there where it was really starting to get a little shady.
Yeah.
And so welcome to Austin, and thanks for being here today.
So two weeks and change, I got to ask the first question, although you did come from Vegas.
Yes.
The weather.
So
talk to me from Vegas, someone who just moved here.
Vegas has been such a great training ground, because now this feels like totally doable. The mornings, you have the opportunity of the mornings to actually.
I love your post, by the way.
I'm really big on the morning sun for sleep. One of the things while we started traveling was we started really adopting these morning walks, and I'm obsessed with walking. Can you be obsessed with walking? I'm obsessed with walking. And to the point that was part of a factor with the decision-making process of coming to Austin. It has a 99 walkability score, last time I knew, because there's different scores in these different areas. And Austin's so walking friendly. Yeah. Vegas was not really that.
Right. Now, are you a street walker?
Hey, What?
Oh my God.
I'm old. That means something completely different.
So many jokes.
You mean trail, like.
Or a trail walker. Or a.
Thank you. So you.
So I'm backpedaling.
Where do you prefer to do your walking?
Yeah. Yes.
And
watch her go. It's called a treadmill, idiots.
Yeah. Well, I'm really serious about this whole walking thing, because when we were traveling in third world countries, you know, in Thailand and Cambodia and different places, it would be beautiful settings, but the infrastructure would not be the same that it would be in places like this.
Yeah.
So the privilege of sidewalks, the privilege of just, you know, kind of stop signs, and just the ability to not have to be like hyper vigilant and a million scooters. I mean, so many great things to say about that. But as far as just the walking piece, it would bring a whole other heightened awareness element. So here I do like a blend. I like to be able to have destinations to go to. Okay. So if the fact that I can walk to Lady Bird Lake in the morning, you know, grab a coffee, whatever, stroll around. I love how active it is here. People are like running, paddleboarding. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All of these things. So just very inspiring. And like you said, with the parks and what have you here, that is fantastic. That was not in Vegas.
We have some great greenbelt space. So if you like more hiking, off streets, off sidewalks, there's Bull Creek, there's up in the Greenbelt up 360, there's obviously the Zilker area,
Greenbelt Falls, Dripping
tons
Springs
of Greenbelt space.
Can't wait to
and I know nothing, so
I would love to
so
introduce
fun.
You and
nothing.
Your fiance to Fredericksburg, like
wine
country.
That's
the
wine country. And isn't that where Forces of Nature is too, or maybe I'm wrong on that? No. You know, the Forces of Nature company, the Stakes, I thought they were there, maybe not.
No, I thought they were in Kerrville.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do some.
I don't know.
I'll do some sleuthing. We'll
But anyways, the hill country is awesome for hiking. And what we have over there is called Enchanted Rock. Ooh. And as a young kid and as an adult, it still has the same effect on me.
Gotta see
it. Go up there on a clear night and it's like your own planetarium, because it's a rock that you hike up and you're just surrounded by stars, and it's just awesome.
Dan, you done Enchanted Rock? Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And by the way, you two guys have something in common that inspired me.
What?
75 Hard.
75 Hard.
Now,
and we dress all in black.
And in all fairness, I did 75 Hard-ish. You know, I refused to do the selfies.
Okay, yeah.
And I refused to quit drinking. I did the one. I worked out twice a day, once outside, post-75. No, I did. That is not true. Yeah. The hardest part for me was the damn gallon, a gallon water a day.
Yeah,
I do. I don't have a problem with. Is this like an intervention? I want to who has a statement
today?
But I saw you, when you posted, he was in the middle, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" So I did. I loved it. Yeah. I did ish, but it was good.
Yes. It was good. Oh, such a fan. When did you do it? Oh, before the pandemic. I feel like a lot of people during the pandemic were like, "Oh, nice." Yeah.
His 75 year, you might have gone 75 days.
Okay.
Dan's doing 75 months. Years.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. I love that. Go, Dan. Okay.
No, but so you, were you strict? You had that. You did it.
I really like, so I clearly, to be someone that can get pretty obsessive with things, to make an entire company around sleep optimization, I can get very black and white. So I do have to work on this, but I love the simplicity of, okay, this is what you're doing.
Me too.
It just is so helpful. I like when I don't have to think. It's just what I'm doing.
What I enjoyed was the outdoor. Yeah. It was the first workout program I'd ever been a part of. I've always had to do something, right? I had to do something that has a start and a finish. So I'm kind of like you.
Yes.
But I could tell you that the aspect of going outside, because when I was doing it, when I started it, it wasn't the best weather. So I'd have to get up earlier or do it in the rain. But I made a commitment that I would stay outside, not covered, outside in the elements for 45 minutes. And for me, it was just walking.
I've
shared a lot of my story about my back and my fusion, but just walking. But walking backwards too, you know, so we'll talk about that.
I was just talking about that this morning.
I love walking backwards.
Walking over the bridge and someone was doing that.
I do.
And we were like, that is one of the best workouts.
And I'm a dork. I have my phone. I have my phone on, like I'm videoing or but on selfie so I can walk.
Exactly.
Like your rearview mirror.
Yeah. Exactly. Somebody would go by like, this dude is a narcissist. Yeah. He's done three laps. But no, I literally have to do that. So let's jump into, I love how you even call it sleep optimization.
Yes.
How did you even start this? Can we start at your journey? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Because I think it helps provide context as to the why of kind of the intensity that I ended up going into it with, because it was really solving my own problem initially was what it looked like.
Okay.
And how this all kind of came about was I had a lot of kind of an evolution with how I related with sleep. And then that kind of feeds into how I work with clients now. But essentially what this looked like was for most of my life, I had a lot of labels around my sleep, a lot of narratives. So it's, I'm a short sleeper. I'm a night owl. It's in my genes. Sleep when you're dead, you know, just all of that. And I really felt it was fixed and kind of nothing to really look at, not much to do about it. It's just how it is. And kind of work with that. And it wasn't until I went through as a serial entrepreneur in Manhattan, burning the candle at both ends, stressed to the max. I was sharing before we started, I think rolling, that there was a period of time when I was working with my fiance. We're doing the largest study ever conducted on poker players and breaking down their nonverbals. And it was all self-funded, you know, just bleeding funds, so stressed.
This was your business.
This was my fiance's business. And I worked with him at the nonverbal group. So there's looking at nonverbal communication, so kind of behavioral change.
Yeah.
And then how to leverage that at the poker table. So it was kind of an intersection of a couple of businesses. So we're doing that and stressed to the max. Then we decided a la Tim Ferriss to kind of be digital nomads, put everything in storage. Also as a means of, we were so stressed to begin with, we weren't even taking advantage of New York City. We said, okay, let's put everything into storage. We'll start, you know, traveling and take everything on the road.
Love it.
And at the time we're like, yes, this is going to be great. But we weren't quite ready for that. And then we had employees that were responsible for, and just and the amount of stress that was mounting, paired with, I had some like health stuff that we later discovered. I had a parasite, just, you know, anyway, I had a couple of things, but it turned out. So how, once we started traveling, the symptomology for me was a wild difficulty with my sleep that I never experienced before. Insomnia that really made me feel like I am losing my mind, like really scary. And I shared with you that my family has some, you know, history of mental health issues. And so for me, this was a very alerting period of, oh my God, is this Is this it for me? Okay. Right. Especially when I went to the doctors in Croatia with Google Translate at one of my worst points and said, help, I can't sleep. And I leave with their version of Ambien. In that moment, it was like, okay, I got to figure this out because I don't want to go down this path.
Yeah.
And I'd seen that path with other people in my family. And some.
How old were you or how long ago was this?
So this was in, we kind of did this whole announcement in 2016.
Okay.
That were, you know, traveling and what have you and doing all this. And then
now what'd you do with the companies? Did you,
so these were all still, you know, happening, but a lot of juggling. And I was really useless during this point when I went through that period, because suddenly I got to see what life was like with no sleep and it was just a mess.
And you didn't have any of these sleep issues prior?
I had
that?
A lot of poor habits with my sleep. I had a lot of, you know, I would get by on very short amounts of sleep. And
right,
So I would be like, you know, 5-6 hours, things like that.
Short. Yeah. I will say in full disclosure, I do watch Molly all the time. And one of the first things I love what she says, even when she's talking about any product, the first thing I love when you say it, but there's free, there's options out there, behavioral changes that will cost you. I love when you advocate that.
Yep.
But you've obviously had to go through all this.
Well, but just clarifying, because everybody has a different definition of short.
Well, and I would have a lot of the roller coaster. So now what it would look like, and I wasn't tracking at the time, as in, you know, I did have a Zio for a hot second. I don't know if you remember the Zio with the head-based tracker.
Yep.
But I stopped using that because I was discouraged because I would always get bad scores. So it would often be, and I had no agency at the time to change it. You know,
I love it.
So,
why'd you get discouraged? Well, I kept getting bad scores.
And then had no awareness of what to do to make a difference with it. So what it would look like was a lot of roller coasters. It'd be insufficient sleep, you know, the 5-6 hours, and then an egregious amount of sleep, you know, that kind of ups and downs.
Yep.
So that's what it looked like at its kind of lowest point. And really it kind of has been logged in my life as one of the rock bottom moments of my life. And so linked up with that period of no sleep. And we ended up staying, we're overseas for 3 months and came back specifically because of my sleep.
Wow.
Because it was so like, all right, we got to figure this out. This is just pointless. I was hyper fixated on it and I did not want to become dependent on these, you know, medications, but I was taking them at the time.
Yeah.
So, cause I was just so desperate to sleep, but then felt very shameful and all those things during that period. Yeah. So came back. And then I really felt during that period that my whole life was going to look different. Cause you know, sometimes when you're in that sleep anxiety state, and I do have people nowadays that might come my way to discuss some of those experiences that they're starting to have with their sleep. And when you are so anxious on these topics, you might start to think that it's always going to be this way. And that's certainly what I did. I thought, okay, well, this is my life now. So
this is my lot.
Yeah. And this is, there's no way this whole digital nomad thing's happening. I can't, how am I going to hop around to Airbnbs? I have all these specific things now that I need to do for my sleep and this, you know, this way of looking at it. So really went wildly down the rabbit hole on all the things that I could do to help make a difference with this. I did a lot of things that really didn't make a difference. And I also, when I would really embark on each one of these things, I would often have a lot of pressure onto each one of the things I would do. So for instance, if I would get whatever, a new supplement, eye mask, lighting system, this, that, and the other, it's like, okay, now this is going to be the thing to get me
this
to sleep.
This is my silver bullet.
Yes. Right. And you see that a lot for a lot of people too, where you're putting such pressure on this act or this item or what have you.
Well, there's this hope and this desperation almost.
Really panic.
Yeah.
I used to, at my worst, there would be, the sun would be setting and going to the night and I would start to get like nervous of, oh my God, I can't have another night with, you know, not sleeping.
Yeah.
And I know,
which just creates more anxiety.
It's a vicious cycle. So I embarked on all these different things. I have on my website just this ridiculous list of 9 million things that I did.
Out of all the, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, of course.
Out of everything that you ever tried.
Yeah.
And personally, for your personal experience, is there one that you look back and you're like, yeah, that was kind of crazy.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
What a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, at the time, I did hypnosis, and I thought that that was really just so out there. I now have a new appreciation for it, and actually am a kind of advocate for hypnosis. But at the time, I was like, okay, is this really what it's come to? Like, you know, I think of stage hypnotists or what have you.
Do I have to be a chicken? Why do I have to be a chicken?
Exactly. And then I would also just a series of many things where it would be like I was going into battle at night. Like, I would have all of these accoutrements, you know, and I'd have like my little collection of my books and my mask and my, you know,
which nothing thing. Sexier than going to bed with what
all the things.
I'm real big on words, Molly, because I don't have a very large vocabulary, but the words that I key in on are important to me. So Brene Brown talks about shame versus guilt. Use the word shame.
Yeah.
And tell me if you still mean it the same way. Mm-hmm. Shame is I am a bad person. Yeah. Guilt is I did a bad thing. When you said shame with your sleep, did you really think that you were a bad, meaning I'm not a sleeper? Or did you say I'm a person who just can't sleep? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No,
because you used the word shame.
It was self, I don't want to say so leveled, but it was looking inward at myself as being a failure and not being able to do this thing.
Gotcha.
So I would
Everybody sleeps. Why can't I sleep?
Yeah, exactly. I would be like walking around airports. I'd see, you know, kids sleeping. I'm like, everyone can sleep. Old people, young people. And I'm like,
your fiance falls asleep. You're like,
I was livid. I was like, and it would be so, it was just this period of time in my life where I just felt like, okay, I'm at this rock bottom period. I cannot even do something that feels as if it should be so given to all of us.
Gotcha.
So it really took a number of things to get up under this. And as I did start to not only get my sleep back to homeostasis, which I shared was not that great anyway before, instead actually beginning to embark on this optimization conversation and particularly was fascinated with this whole piece of chronobiology. So this idea of this science of time and how this affects our biology. So this blew my mind because I was really living in this kind of poker player-esque lifestyle and going to bed super, super late. At certain points, the, you know, birds would be chirping while going to sleep, sun's up and I'm going to sleep. And had a lot of justifications and rationalizations that, I'm so much more creative at night. I work so much better. I would really defend this.
I'm a night owl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so when starting to learn more and more about this understanding of these different biorhythms, these ultradian rhythms, circadian rhythms, and our infradian rhythms, blew my mind. I'm like, how are we not all talking about this? Because it almost gives you a blueprint for how you could design your life in a particular way. Now, of course, there's going to be differences for different individuals, but it does have some element of, as human beings, you know, diurnal creatures, meaning that we're meant to be active during the day and at rest at night, that there's certain fundamental things that seem to work for most of us. And when we deviate off of that, a lot of health implications come up, productivity, mental health, all of those things seem to go awry.
You fascinate me. So I've studied a lot of what you said on your show, and I'll say, I don't know what that word means. It's opposite of nocturnal. Let's look it up. But Teresa and I joke a lot. I call her TP.
Yeah.
One of the things I've always said, you're like a sleep therapist. And my challenge to you during this podcast would be, how do you talk to somebody who only works nights? Who always a nurse who does the night shift, and they got sleep techs who always.
Oh my God.
Or streetwalkers that only work nights.
Very important category.
I love you. But I'm serious because
firefighters.
Everything that you just talked about, light, circadian rhythm, all that, it can someone truly change? Now, if they stay on that schedule, let's say you always stayed on that schedule, you're okay, I believe. I don't know. But this very close friend of mine who's a night nurse needs to work this job as a labor delivery, but has to change her schedule so she can spend time with her husband, with her kids, and her rhythm, there's no way.
Yeah.
She's ever getting good sleep. And I've talked to them about this. And there was one of your episodes, you had somebody on that was talking about that. Like, either you stay on that schedule.
Yeah.
And I really want your opinion on this.
Yeah, of course.
And damn the family, they need to change or change your job. Is that fair? Because you can't keep, you can't, right?
Yeah. So such a big topic. So one, Well, I'll also say, to complete the whole thing of like, if anyone's like, happened?
Yeah.
No. I want to bring that back just in case anyone's like, well, what happened with your whole like breakdown and right. like, is everything better now? So, but with that, because I was one of those people, I was akin to kind of a night owl or a night shift worker of mm-hmm. my own design. And I say that just because that has really stood as an example of what can be possible to shift our habits based on our entrainment process. So, entrainment is this concept that we can, mm-hmm. through behaviors and our environments, shift some of our results with our sleep-wake cycle. So throughout that period, I really transformed that, as well as my fiance along for the ride. He also had that's happened to us. Now he's really, it took a long time, but now he's super on board with that. But I share that just because I do want to speak to this conversation, because there is a lot of talk about, you know, chronotypes, and maybe it's just meant to be for some people and what have you. And there certainly are tendencies and natures, but there's so much that we can do so that we can entrain. So spoiler alert, did transform the sleep, now measurably have such a different element to my sleep now. And with that, now work with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people on optimizing their sleep through our online courses. We have over 200 weekly newsletters.
This is your company that you started
And now we're in hotels.
Your own journey led to this.
This led to this. So okay. I just want
to- What's the name of your company?
Sleep is a skill.
Sleep is a skill.
So we're really making the stance that you can, no matter where you're, including shift workers, because I definitely want to answer that question, that no matter where you are, that you can absolutely make such a fundamental difference with your sleep from this element of starting, you know, kind of at sleep 101, mm-hmm. and then training yourself and learning all that there is to learn to optimize that area of your life. So from that place, now we work with particularly quite a niche in poker. So we do work with a lot of poker players who are akin to shift workers, and particularly not even just consistent shift workers, but like what they call rotating shifts. So they will often have all kinds of variability. So they might be super late one night, early the next, and mm-hmm, all over the place. So a lot to say on that topic, but I do just want to point to that because it does speak to that there's so much we can do. And certainly it's transformed my life. So that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it.
You are.
Because I got to see what life looked like without that sleep. And now, I really often just say I'm addicted to feeling good because I'm willing to the things that I think in the past, and often some of the things I'm going to talk about today are kind of outside of the bell curve and are, you know, not what everyone's doing. So, you know, why would you do some of these things? Well, if you can get a taste of what it can feel like to actually be well rested and optimized, we're talking about optimization. It's just, I think, a really fantastic lens to approach wellness in general. And because of technology and some of these wearables, now, are they perfect? No, but I think it can give you a place to stand of how you're doing and
it's
a
tangible. Number
of tangible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can see where you are in the game. So anyway, I wanted to say that just so people are not like, well, why am I listening to this person? Because, you know, so we've made a whole kind of transformation with that. And sleep as a skill is our stance. So with this topic of shift working, 100%. It is, and it's not to be underestimated how much that this can do to our health and well-being. And there are different grades of often difficulty with how you can approach this. And so I mentioned rotating shifts versus kind of set out shifts. So certainly if you are shift worker, which they're so important for our, you know, the workability of our society.
You're in Texas now. Offshore, that's what they do.
Yes, 100%.
Every other week.
Absolutely. So you know, we want to protect our shift workers and see how we can help support them. But I will not lie, that is not it is something that it's challenging.
It's got to be.
So the first step, there's like kind of a tier with shift workers, that the first step, if you do have that consistency, our big goal with all of sleep is to set up as much of a consistency and consistent schedule as humanly possible. So even if it is outside of these rhythms of nature, okay, fine. So you're always going to bed at, I don't know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., that's your new reality and that's your bedtime. And then we have a particular wake time for you. We'll expose you to light at certain times. We'll eat at certain times. We'll change your temperature in your space at certain times. There's all kinds of things you can do to really set up your own kind of mimicked sunrise, sunset, rhythms of nature thing. kind of thing that you could use to help facilitate this is called Time Shifter. And it's an app that I really highly recommend. It originally started as for jet lag when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But now they're helping to support shift workers, which I think is amazing. The UX UI is amazing. So they kind of spit out based on your schedule. What are some of the things? When do you need to get light exposure? When do you maybe want to play with caffeine? If you do melatonin, things of that nature.
What's the name of the app?
Time Shifter.
Time Shifter.
Yes. Okay. No affiliation.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. 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 I'm really excited about things like that. So you can have that as kind of accompanying you if you're exploring this, but the rotating shift workers are the ones that can be challenging. So if you are a shift worker or rotating shift worker, you want to be even more aware of these types of conversations than ever, because you want to try to create as much stability as humanly possible. One new book that actually the speaker was at Sleep 2022, where we were, it is called The Sleep Fix. Yep. And so that's written by a ABC correspondent. Mm-hmm. And so she's speaking to being a shift worker and how to kind of powerfully approach that. I do appreciate different types of resources like that that feel more empowering versus just like, well, I guess you either gotta quit your job or die young.
But let's put this into like maybe something like an example.
Yes.
For me, that makes sense.
Sure.
I'm a nurse. I'm not a nurse, but if I was a nurse,
yeah.
I work 3 nights on,
yeah.
4 nights off.
Mm-hmm.
3 nights on, 4 nights off,
You have a family, you got
yeah.
kids.
So my 3 nights are 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I have the 4 days where no work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So like, what should I do? What should that person do?
Yeah. So there are different kind of value elements that people will bring into this. Some people will say, listen, I am going to set up as much consistency during those periods, during the shift periods, and then I will almost act akin to as if I'm traveling across, you know, kind of international travel, because it's really akin to what you're doing. It's self-created jet lag.
Yeah.
If you were to manage it so it's also social jet lag, but I think it could use a new name because often it's just kind of, created by our own design. So you're creating that level of jet lag, and having that much jet lag every single week is really hard. So the recommendation is often, if possible, to make this as consistent as you possibly can so that the night shift almost becomes your new reality.
Yeah.
Now I will say that some people will not abide by that and they'll say, okay, I'm still going to deal with this jet lag type issues, but then there might be a whole other fallout with that. And then some people do go down the path of having different sleep aids, and that can bring about its own problems. So there's the area of shift work is challenging. And so I am happy that there are beginning to be other services, apps, providers that specialize.
Do you work personally with, and I'm sure, I know you got a ton of, but have you worked with someone that did that and was able to have success around?
Yes, I have worked with different shift workers. And thankfully I haven't worked, thankfully, as far as this conversation, I haven't seen as many, I personally haven't worked with as many rotating shift workers because I do really feel for that area. And it can be so challenging.
And mine isn't rotating. It's just, this is a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I see what she goes through. And it's just, I can't imagine the mindset, because she really does lose a day and a half of her off time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you're going to have a lot of people, you know, unfortunately,
to wake up to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have a lot of people that are in this situation that, you know, they either love their job, they value what they do, but they might be a single parent.
No, that's
right. They might have to get up and take their kids to school the next day. They might have to, so I'm going to work till, 4 a.m., come home, then I got to get the kids up and get them, and then I'll come take a nap after. I've seen this, a lot of patients where, they get off work, they come home, they get the kids up, go to school, drop them off, then they'll come home, and by then it's 8, 9 a.m., they'll take a nap.
Yeah.
That's when they'll sleep. But how good is their sleep at that time?
Oh, no.
The lights out, do they have a blackout curtain? Are they using an eye mask? Maybe they do some tricks. But then almost inevitably, there's some other shit to do that day that you got to be awake for by noon or 1 o'clock. And so
if you're a single mother, you want to go on a date. I mean, I'm being practical. Yeah. It's like, gosh, it's just.
Oh, it's a hard one. And that's why I don't, you know, beat around the bush. It is challenging and it is outside of the norms of our society and it is outside of, you know, kind of our biological hardwiring. Right. So there's a lot of things that you're up against. But often the suggestion is how can you make that as much of a lifestyle
right.
as possible? Okay. So, you know, how can you design this so you, this is not as out of the norm for you to be up at those hours? So mm-hmm. also you're more present for the job that you're doing, which some of these jobs are really physical in nature. Mm-hmm. There's other things you need to be, you know, aware of.
Focus, alert.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll
see labor and delivery nurse. I mean, you
got
to be.
You got, right, exactly. And that's where we see people taking things like modafinil and other things that play with the histamine kind of element, which certainly is an element with sleep. So it can get really layered. I'm not trying to overcomplicate it, but it's something that shouldn't also just be either one, just disregard it, like, oh, well, your sleep's always going to be rough. Because no, you actually want to take even more time to learn these elements that you can make this as consistent as possible. You don't want to necessarily overdo the napping like you're speaking to, because that can affect sleep pressure. So there's adenosine levels throughout the course of the day. So there's just so many things that the more you can learn and be educated, you can make informed choices based on your.
Molly, you're blowing my mind here because, hold on, you're blowing my mind. So I'm assuming this all started in 2016 for you.
Yeah.
Like your knowledge is incredible. I'm going to back up just a little bit. We got time. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Where did you get your education? You grew up, you said, in Maine, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Maine.
Yeah.
Where did you get your formal education?
I went to Syracuse University. Yes.
Okay, so that was the New York, okay.
Yep, exactly.
What was your major?
So in psychology. And so certainly it did fit nicely with this track because went through, so it was psychology and communications and rhetorical studies. So the, which is really the takeaway of that whole major is the art of finding in any given situation, the available means of persuasion. So essentially it's, that was like the biggest thing I got out of that.
But I love it because you're so well read. And are you getting what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you're like, just, you're so informative. I was like, her background had to be something that before 2016, that it kind of led you to find that.
Yes, but I do think that helped. I do think that it was kind of uniquely helpful in, because I had worked on the course creation side of things for the nonverbal group and Beyond right. Tells,
yeah.
then how can you put some of this information, most important information, into a, you know, package that people actually want to go through? Because that's the other thing. I mean, sleep. Right. I mean, it's been a bit of a snooze fest for a while, right. you know, and not to get it. You know, I think that there's been so much in this area of sleep that yep. we're in this revolution. I mean, please.
I agree. I agree. But that, you know, the problem that sleep has had is it's just not sexy.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Dancing exactly. is sexy. Going out is sexy. Late dinners are sexy. Mm-hmm. Nightclubs, nightcaps. You know, traveling.
Bald-headed men over the age of 47.
At 48. you know, that's what's sexy. And, yeah. you know, going to bed, even though, but living longer is sexy.
Yes.
Being healthier is yeah. sexy. Being more positive is sexy. Yeah. Having more energy is sexy. But we gotta link that for everybody. Yes. It's become this. What do you keep doing?
Nothing. It just.
It's long goodbye for this, one of the last filmings here, I guess.
What the fuck is happening?
It just, the hat keeps falling.
Can you quit putting it up?
I
told you about my aversion to noises.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Stopped. We started with that. One more. A different.
If this one falls and I hear that noise again.
Oh my God, the noise. Yeah, what did you threaten with? You put the
yeah, he's going to stab me.
The clicking pen.
Clicking pen. Yeah.
Exactly. Go ahead. I apologize for not having anything to do with that.
Out of your.
Besides my magic.
So, well, okay. So let's get back to, I totally fucking forgot what I was saying because
I can tell you talking about sex.
So you took this passion.
Yes.
I know we were talking about specifics.
No, you're good.
Yeah, of course.
But I want to get back to your business.
Yeah, sure.
And you said, I'm creating a business.
Yes.
That revolves around helping people sleep.
Yeah.
Helping people recognize that sleep is a skill.
Yep.
You can learn this. You can train for this.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you the tools necessary to do it.
Yes.
Okay. So what was your, like, what was that moment like that you're just like, I'm making a business. This is my next entrepreneurial
yes.
endeavor.
I remember it vividly, actually, because I shared with you guys that I ended up leaving, you know, we're traveling and then just went back to figure out this whole sleep thing. And then a few months go by and after really kind of bringing this all back around, starting to slowly sleep again and slowly sleep more normally again and what have you. Then I really wanted to figure out how could I do, how could I still dip my toe back in the water in this travel idea? Because it had been such a long standing. I really wanted to do this whole digital nomad thing.
I can tell you're like this.
Yeah, so okay. But and this was already partly pre-designed because my fiance's family, they were supposed to come meet us because we were supposed to still be traveling. So they're supposed to come meet us over in Europe. So they'd already bought their tickets. So it was already kind of like on the calendar. Yeah. It's a goal. So let me figure out how to do this. So we end up going to London and Paris, and we're in, why am I forgetting the name of that? It's in Paris, but it's on the water. And I remember vividly standing on the bridge and wow. I like declared to my fiance that this is what I'm doing because earlier that day, I was like slowing us down because I was on my laptop in, we stopped at the Ace Hotel there. And I had this moment where I was on all these forums because I had been, you know, desperately trying to find all the things to help me sleep. And now that I was starting to sleep, I was giving these crazy long, wild, obsessive lists of all these things I had done to all these other people that weren't sleeping.
Yeah.
And then I had gotten a message back from this one woman. I should probably find out who that woman is. But I got this message back that, oh my God, thank you so much. The things that you said, I started implementing those and I finally started getting some sleep. Wow. And this was just very informal. This is, you know, nothing. But I was like, I need to keep sharing. Just there was such such a empathy for if other people are struggling with this. Because again, I felt like it was just such a rock bottom, so destabilizing, all those things.
You used another word. I love it. Declared.
Yes.
So when we declare something, and I love that you said, I declared to my fiance,
yes.
This is what I'm doing.
I remember it vividly. Yes.
I'm curious, you know, having you on is such an honor for us. I do respect you so much. And I wanted to wait to this until I had you in the studio to ask you your opinion on what I call an oral device, an oral appliance therapy.
Yeah.
And we didn't get much chance to talk at ASM. I know we both were like, ooh, ooh, ooh. But I've always wanted to ask you.
Yeah. Specifically for sleep apnea.
Uh-huh. For OSA.
Or upper airway resistance. Yeah. Sleep disorder breathing.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm curious.
So what I often do is because I also am clear on my kind of scope of expertise. So I certainly outsource a lot of things when you get more in depth on the topic of sleep apnea. Actually, it was just a conversation I just had with a client.
That's what I do today. That's what I do with dating. I outsource.
Yes. Outsource.
I'm horrible at it.
So I do have different people that I have all over internationally to help support people. Would love to, you know, learn. I still need to know more too about what your business looks like and all the things.
Oh, we got time. You're in Austin now, girl.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be good. So because as much expertise that I can have in those various areas to help support people, I absolutely am a huge, huge fan of. I'm also a huge fan of some of the what feel like exciting new options for people just outside of the traditional CPAP. And so looking at things like Inspire and Excite and what have you, and certainly the different inserts. And so I do share a whole bevy of options for people, but I do ensure that they work with their specialists because of the fact that there's just... I think it's been underestimated just how much
one of the offers, and I'll put it on camera right here. What I would love for you to do is visit Brandon's office and his staff there and see how they treat. Team. And I would love to put a device in your mouth so you could try it out and tell us what you think. Even if you don't have OSA.
Sure.
What I'm real big on is especially my product is
jokes.
What I'm real passionate about is influencers, physicians, especially MDs, is that I do that. I go to different sleep dentists.
What? Device name of his penis?
No, it's not the name. See, and this is my
sleeping
doctor.
Around podcast, y'all.
Anyways, I'm having a real moment here trying to help you out. But go to his office. He has an amazing team there and see how they do it. And it's so... From when I started in this device business with SomnaMed
sure.
was September 2020. I'd been in sleep for a while with Philips. So it was interesting to me that no longer do you have to go get an impression, that they have these amazing tools that do 3D scans and that, but I would offer that. You don't have to say yes, but I would offer that to you so you could see. Brandon is one of his team is one of the best. And so for you now being in town, just to go see what they do, talk about it. I mean, it's at a different level. And I, in all the podcasts I've watched, you haven't watched them all, but you don't, it hasn't been something that had come up. So I was like, man, this is kind of our worlds.
Well, so for me, this journey started around sleep apnea. It started around breathing. It started around snoring, sleep apnea, and the effects on health, all the comorbidities associated with sleep apnea, which ultimately people who with untreated sleep apnea are getting really shitty sleep.
Yeah. Right.
And so I jumped in and it was sleep disorder, breathing, sleep. And so it was all about CPAP, appliances, Excite. We use Excite in our office.
Sure. Yeah.
And how do we help people breathe and stop snoring? But then you start to see, as you start treating sleep apnea, you start to see, okay, well, I'm taking care of the tongue at night and we may be helping a relationship, which kind of was surprising at the beginning. I was like, oh, we're not just helping somebody sleep better and feel better and have more energy. We're helping a relationship. We're helping people get back in bed together that are sharing rooms that, you know, we're sleep divorced.
It's much more sexier than a CPAP.
Exactly.
Yes, it is.
And, but then you start to see, oh, well, a lot of my patients were fixing the snoring and were fixing the breathing, but they got a whole nother slew of sleep issues. Yeah. They got a whole nother set of bad habits.
The behavioral, the cognitive.
Behavioral stuff that weren't like, so then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're learning more about that and the, and just general sleep hygiene. And that's where you just seem to have this amazing knowledge.
Oh, well, I'm excited to, well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to definitely kind of share our knowledge together more because I feel like there's such synergy that could come out of here, especially being on the ground here in Austin, because so much of what I've been doing has been virtual with some of these partnerships. Mm-hmm, so to have in person and be able to kind of go in deeper, I think would be amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm throwing out there. I think because of, I value your background, I would have thought for sure it was either psychology or some kind of science because you're so clinical and which I dig.
Yeah.
But I thought, man, I mean, if you want to learn what I do, I work for SomnaMed. And so that's what I do. We are a manufacturer, not a lab. We're a manufacturer that sells an oral device, what I call an oral device for sleep apnea. HI 30 or below is what we're indicated for.
Yeah.
But you know as well as I do, and I have watched this on your podcast, that CPAP, even before there was this crazy recall with Philips, just what is the actual reality of them staying compliant? And it's 50%.
Yeah.
It's just 50%. So what are we going to do about those patients? What are we going to do with those patients that are non-compliant? That's how I got into this. And then the recall happened. And then I met Brent. And then, you know, then I really started digging in. My background with sleep started way, way long ago. Same type issue, but with my ex-wife having all these concerns we could not figure out. And by the grace of God or coincidence or whatever you believe, we were living in Dallas and got to meet some people from Stanford right away because she's a little bitty thing. And it ended up being a CPAP helped. She had to do the whole myofascial reconstruction, chin implant, all that, but changed our lives.
Changed your life. Absolutely.
So
I was just at an event at Stanford for sleep, specifically for sleep apnea.
Yep.
And heading back there, I think in March. So they're probably the foremost. Kind of ground zero for sleep.
They really are.
Yeah, that's great.
I'd love to know more about some of the tools you use or some of the tools that you recommend. I'd love for oral devices to maybe be a tool that you can incorporate or utilizing someone like us to help patients with that. I asked you about the Oura Ring. I saw that.
Yeah.
We mentioned all these other million things. What are some of the top tools that you use now or that you're recommending to people in terms of sleep?
Oh, and I love when you always say free first, and then she goes, and I'm not affiliated. And I love how you give that free qualifier out. It's hilarious.
Well, I feel like, doesn't it feel like I can color what you hear from the person?
It's
if
true.
They're like, okay, well, they gave me all this money. So.
Molly told me.
Exactly. So top tools. Oh my goodness. How much time do we have? Because I love my tools, but also I am also really cognizant. And that's why I do say that there's so many things that we can do for free. I came from a background where not a lot of money, want to be responsible for the fact that so many people, I mean, every one of us sleeps. And so no matter our budget, what is worth investing in, what isn't, I went to this crazy event, which I highly recommend people check out, CES, the world's largest, you know, kind of consumer, you know, electronic show. They have a sleep section that is just wild.
Is that the one that happens in Vegas every year?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's one of the largest events in the world. It's just crazy. I was there multiple days, still didn't get to see everything. Wow. Also, when I was there, sex tech had just been allowed to be presenting. It was the first year that they were allowed to present.
What is sex tech?
Oh my God.
Speaking of streetwalkers.
I know. I felt like this is a setting to be able to share this.
No, I swear I don't. I'm not being funny. What is sex tech?
Well, so
toys, dolls.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
I got it now.
All the things.
Okay, I got it now.
Yes. Yeah. Let your imagination run is there.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's right next to sleep tech. So it was actually a really cool marriage. Because it was alphabetical, right?
It's like, honey, I got this ring and I got this other ring.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh, just a little aside, one of the things I thought was really fascinating with their area, I know this is a total tangent, but speaking of tech, so one company, I think it was called Lioness, it's a female-founded company with this like smart vibrator. And one of the things that that founder, I still need to like connect with her, she was saying, she goes, oh, you have a company in sleep. She's like, well, I'm really fascinated in what we're finding in our data because they have a smart vibrator that connects to your phone. And what it would see is the strength of your orgasm at different points throughout the day. So they found a circadian nature to the strength of orgasms, which was just super interesting in my brain. So apparently,
meaning certain parts of the day you have stronger orgasms.
Physically measurably stronger orgasms,
like a Richter scale.
So yeah.
What I'm hearing is you wear this device all day.
This is when you're utilizing it at different times. You can kind of test and see.
Look at him.
That would be wild.
You know what? It's not an ambulatory dildo or vibrator.
No, I think it's an app on your phone. So if you are wearing it and you just happen to be.
Well, you have to be wearing it in order to get the data.
Yeah.
Throughout the day.
I got to meet Linus.
But
yeah, what?
Before we move on from that. What time of the day is best time?
She was so we're supposed to actually connect, and then the whole pandemic happened because this was like in January of 2020. Oh, okay. And then I had never done it. But so now it's a reminder.
God, she would be a great podcast.
I know. And such a, what a talk about a pre-bedtime ritual. Yep. My God.
Yep.
But yeah, so there's different circadian nature. Anyway, I digress. So the point of the sleep tools. So I say that just because there is such an avalanche, just this overwhelming amount of sleep tech, and some of it just feels like nonsense or just not really worth its expense. And other things, really, I do see a measurable change. And when I say measurable change, for anyone that's like, okay, well, what measurement system are you using? Mm-hmm. So I do have everyone wearing the Oura Ring. And so in 2020, that is what people are doing, what we're having people do. But that could change because there are a lot of other new contenders coming into the market or upgrades with other wearables. So right now that is what I'm doing because there are certain pieces of data that are worth paying attention to and others not worth paying attention to. So anyway, so that's part of where I'm looking at every single client we're working with is they're all wearing those and we have dashboards that we pull in their information on.
That's so cool.
Which is great because then we can see, and they're also tagging. So we have systems, we have 10-week long programs. And then after the first 2 weeks, then they start daily sort of tracking each day kind of their what they're doing, what they're seeing changes with. So we have a lot of data day in, day out of why their HRV totally tanked on that particular day and vice versa. So some of the things that I've seen make a measurable change with that measurement tool, one, I recommend the tool. And again, no affiliation, but so that would be one that I would suggest spending some, you know, investing in. There are, you know, kind of asterisks that if you are dealing with a lot of anxiety or, you know, kind of obsessive behavior, which I know that is kind of me, but I do really take the stance that if you do have some training with it, not just getting this information without any sort of means of making a difference with it, then you can actually use this as a kind of game for yourself and be informed by it and empowered with it.
It goes back to kind of our personality. Remember, we were talking about even the Hard 75. Like,
it's
our personality types, because you've shared this, I'm OCD too. I'm very, I have to measure it. I want a start and a finish. I see goals. I can, you know, that. There's other people that it's so funny. It's like they don't even care about that.
I know.
So they just want to sleep better, but you're telling them, here's the tool to help you sleep better in any kind of compliance with anything. in life, whether it be heart medicine or whether it be a CPAP or an oral device,
yeah,
it's compliance is still the key. The ring itself is great.
Yeah.
The data is great, yeah, but if you're not,
but what to do with it?
What right. to do with yeah. it? Exactly. And for what you guys do, I found it to be a nice support because often yeah. if people had not even been in the conversation, didn't right. really care, or thought, oh, my sleep's fine, whatever, then they get these wearables and then suddenly, oh God, like right. yeah. they're suddenly, all right, well, maybe I should do something about this. So then they start looking and then there might be signs. Certainly none of these are diagnostic, obviously, right. but there could be signs enough that it would be worth them getting tested for sleep apnea, right. totally changing the course of their life yep. or other sleep disorders and just well, getting a lot in the
of,
conversation.
I would say pretty much all of my, so I only call on a specific amount of sleep dentists. My job is calling on physicians.
Sure.
But most of my sleep dentists use something to measure that.
Yeah.
And all the new technology out there. And once they support me, I will talk all about them, unlike yes. you. But there are many different companies that are used. But that's the first thing that they'll tell me is like, Hans, I'll just talk. I love Hans.
Yeah.
Hans
yeah.
is the man. He is the man. He has 20 of these H2O rings. He puts them on every patient. Amazing. And it started yeah. with this, his family. And the way he right. likes, it's really simple graph type versus oral ring, where it's data driven,
sure.
which both are good. But just seeing those graphs and stuff with his patients, they get put on an oral device and they go out, then they come back. And it's just really great before they do another HST
yeah.
or they do an in-lab. It's a really kind of, it keeps them sticky. What yeah. I call sure. it. That for years in our world, in the sleep world, that's was kind of the issue. And you've maybe heard some of our guests, you get diagnosed or you see a dentist say, hey, do you snore? Yeah. And then they just get lost from appointment to DME to put it on to wait. Now we wait 100 days to get a CPAP, everybody. I mean, it's just crazy. And yeah. so I think that is an amazing tool to keep awareness up.
Yeah, just to keep that awareness up, the gamification, the accountability, making it a conversation. Kim Kardashian is like, you know, Instagramming about it. Yeah,
exactly. I've heard a exactly. lot about this.
You're talking about making sleep sexy. You yeah, know, yeah. suddenly, yeah. if some of these people are in this conversation, it just...
They have a big basketball player that wears it now.
Yeah, yep. exactly. Yep. Right. So with, and then adding to the validity with, you know, some of the COVID studies and yeah. finding that you can spot signs of COVID 3 days in advance with some of these wearables and, you know, kind of is helpful, right? So this is one that I just begin God, I'm glad with you're for here everyone. At Austin. Oh, I'm so excited. We're going to do so many things together. It's going to be fun. So that's one tool. Then as far as the sleep apnea piece, I have had people also have another kind of gateway thing, Wesper, or Sleep Image, yep. Some of those other trackers of certainly Wesper not being diagnostic,
Sleep Image
being diagnostic and bringing in a bit of the HRV element, mm-hmm. which I appreciate. It's kind of the sleep quality piece. So some of those just of other kind of wearables that are.
It's so awesome because I think of like four people off the top of my head that I can't wait to introduce you to
please.
That you can partner if you're not too busy, but you can partner with as a business. Yeah. And one of them, we had a guest last night. He does the diagnostic piece and he's now in Texas. You would be perfect for that.
Oh, I love that.
Because I believe in, and now we know what TP does, right?
Yes, totally.
I think there's an aspect to once Brandon's done, right?
Yeah. Or
once I'm done, sold, once Brandon's team's done, they're out. What are we doing for that patient? And that's where you come in yeah. amazingly, where Teresa's company comes in amazingly.
Sure.
And it's in one's a sleep coach, one's optimization, whatever, yep. but it keeps that patient. I mean, people use personal trainers.
Yeah.
People use, yes. why not have a personal trainer for sleep?
Yeah.
That's so simple, I think.
I think it's a beautiful model. Speaking of tools.
Tools, yes. Tools. I know. That was only a piece.
I know you have a lot of tools, but specifically, how do you feel about nasal breathing?
Oh man, yeah, that's a big one. So I do certainly have, even on the bare minimum, the lowest tech side of things, mouth taping. We will have people do that. We have people kind of learning.
You even had the author on, didn't you?
Nestor?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, you know, it's weird. I haven't had him on the podcast
yet. Oh, I thought you
which
did.
I know.
Did you had Christopher on? You had Winter on from The Restless Child? Did you have Christopher
on? I just had Michael Grandner on. Right. Fantastic. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of people kind of going in deeper on this topic, but certainly we're going to have James Nestor on in the future so we can just, you know, more.
He's the father of the mouth tape. He literally says, tape your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then... So Breathe, that book is great. Yep. If people want to learn more about that, if you want a more academic leaning book, Jaws is one that's interesting.
Jaws is great. Sandra Kahn, right?
Sure. Yeah. I believe that's it. Yeah. So certainly we do look at that, and that can be an ongoing thing for people to train for, and how to even look at that throughout the course of the day. You know, oxygen advantage.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're into that, because I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of our sponsors.
Yes. Oh, there
partners,
you go.
Okay. Partners.
Yes.
One of our partners.
Sorry, sponsor partner. One of our partners is Airway Stents. And I don't know if you've seen airway stents, heard about airway stents, but this is we're talking better than the Breathe Right strip, better than the nose cones. It actually opens up the entire nasal airway. It's actually 3 inches
And 2 inches. You can get the
They have a 6 inch. I am so scared to stick 6 inches up my nose.
Do they really? I thought they said
no, they have one that goes all the way back to the palate and stabilizes the back of the palate.
Wow.
Now, I don't know that I need that one, so I haven't tried that one, but the 3 inch one I've tried.
Yep.
And this goes all the way into the nasal passage, pushes out the terminates. It stays there. You can wear it while you sleep. Mm. You can wear it while you are exercising. We have some, you know, athletes that are wearing it.
Sure.
And it opens up the airways and helps you breathe better through your nose. So people with inflammation, people with chronic sinusitis, people with chronic allergies, people with large turbinates, people with slight deviations even can use this to kind of straighten it out. And so that may be a tool that could be in your tool belt at some
point. No, I appreciate that, because I have not personally tried it. Yep. Aware of, but haven't tried myself. So I really appreciate that call out. So I'll make sure I test that. How do you feel like that compares to what is it called? Intake, the kind of magnetic one. Have you tried that
one? Oh, I haven't tried that one. No, I haven't tried that one.
Send you that one, because we can send you a stent.
Yeah, we'll send you. Yeah? We'll send you home. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I haven't tried that one, but they're not one of our partners. So
yes. Okay. So
we're so not like. No,
but
kidding,
I would. But I would absolutely recommend you go to the website Airway Stents and check it out, because it's definitely something that's new. It's out there, but I think it's there's some value to it.
No, I
know. And that's why we partnered with them, and that's why we're bringing them into our practice.
And I have said this before, so they have been a fan of the podcast. Terry, who's the CEO, Lens and E, who work for them, VP of sales and stuff, they've been approached. They approached us, and they're like, "Man, we'd love to partner with you guys. This is what we do."
It's great,
Canadian company, awesome people, and we're very blessed. And I was curious if you'd heard of them because I value you so much. Yeah,
yeah, no. So I've certainly heard of them, but I haven't tried it, and I would be curious to not only try them but test it with more to the tools topic. I have a couple HRV trackers, daytime HRV trackers, which is really interesting. So then you can see, since it's so breath based,
so. HRV,
yeah,
heart rate variability, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a hot button term right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that are aware are talking about heart rate variability. So it's very like we're seeing it in the fitness world, we're seeing it in the sleep world, all over the place. But I don't think the general public understands what that is, what it means, why we measure it, and what it's supposed to look like. So dumb it down for us.
Yeah. Okay. So
act like you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretend we're really stupid.
Oh my God. Well, HRV, such a topic. And I think that actually it's makes a lot of sense that people are wildly confused with it, because it is a confusing metric. It's by its design, the name is heart rate variability. It's meant to be like a crazy metric. It's actually meant to be all over the place and variable. And if it's flatline, that's actually concerning.
Right.
So that variability is key. And so how does it get so variable, or how do we impact it? Then there's a ton of things that we can do, but it's also so impacted from so many other areas. But what is it? Essentially, it's our kind of our best metric of recovery. So how are you able to recover kind of second to second? Because it's the time, not your heart beats, but the time between the heartbeat. So then with that, and that's why it's could be arguably a really helpful metric for sleep, because certainly part of the reason you are sleeping is for recovery. And so this is one tool that we could look at from nocturnal HRV readouts of how well you recovered throughout the course of the night. What did that all look like? So with HRV, heart rate variability, then there are a ton of things that we can do to influence it, but also it's very finicky in that you can't necessarily just compare to like all of each other. We wouldn't want to just look at each other's stats and then say, oh, you're better, you're worse, whatever, because we'd want to look at our own baseline. And so from that baseline, then we start to learn what are some of the things that we're doing that are having it dip and then indicate a lack of recovery, or what are some of the things that we're doing that are either at baseline or above that maybe we want to do more of or help
the. So how is it actually measured? Is it just measured by heart? It's the heart rate.
Yes.
So you're looking at the your resting heart rate is 62 beats a minute.
Yeah.
At nighttime, it went from 62 beats a minute to this part of the night, it was at 84 beats a minute to this part of the night, it was at 48 beats a minute.
Yeah.
What's good?
Yes. Well, that's where the baseline piece comes in, because some people will look at it and they'll say, oh my God, this friend of mine is 150 average throughout the course of the night, or will, you know, move all around throughout the night, but that's kind of their takeaway average number. Mm-hmm. Whereas this other person might be, I just was on a call with a client that had 11 for last night, you know, so, and I'm not meaning to say that from like a, oh no, if you have 11, but it's so variable is so my point.
My understanding and the studying that I've done on it is that you have to have a baseline of at least, I don't know, it was like so many days wearing it to get that baseline. Mm-hmm. Once you get your baseline, then that's what you measure against. You're 100% right. It isn't going against other people, your age range or whatever. It's truly a personalized measurable. The variable aspect, what I was told, was, and you said it best, is in between. So it's how long are the heart? So if someone has a tachycardia, right there, I mean, that's going to be nuts, because there's no really time in between. There's no variable in between the beats.
And after, we won't even see their readouts.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my understanding, and it is, it's brand new as far as going into the sleep world.
So community. The measure isn't. So if I were a wearable for 10 nights in a row, and we see that 8 out of the 10 nights, I'm right there at 65 beats a minute.
But it goes in
between. I had a couple nights that are, you know, whatever, that was my average. Like, okay, that's my baseline. Right. Is that my baseline? And then the measure is, okay, well, how far from your baseline are you?
Yeah.
And being far from your baseline is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, the studies that I've seen, it's all with premier athletes. It wasn't with your average Joe. So the studies that they did at the Center in Doubt, the big famous Center in Doubt, anyways, where everybody gets their trainer's certificate at, it was with high level athletes. Mm-hmm. So now taking it down to a guy who's 60 years old, overweight, BMI through the, you know, that's where I was kind of trying to, so I'm with Brandon. I just want to kind of understand it. Even if you have that baseline, how are you measuring?
Yeah.
What is success?
So some of the kind of generalized rules of thumb that have come out around HRV and how to think about it is, the more data always that you can get, the better. So more longitudinal, nocturnal HRV data that you can get, amazing. Then you can start to have more of a sign of if you're really deviating from that baseline, and what might be at play. But what are the measurements of what is kind of worth paying attention to? The thinking is that if you're deviating consistently 20% of a dip, then that might be enough of a just kind of alert that maybe you want to take it easy. Maybe something's impacting your ability to recover. And there's a bunch of things, you know, that we can talk about why. But then when you get the other rule of thumb is then 40% or more of a dip, that's when it starts going into more of kind of a stop sign or
go see your cardiologist.
Well, more like not necessarily because I'm not trying to like frighten people or what have you, but instead just be informed by, okay, something might be really up. You really might want to have kind of a rest day. Okay. And a rest day can mean that you're not working out on that particular day, or that you're taking kind of a mental health day, because there are, HRV is so interesting in the many things that can be impacted by it. So it can be mental health. It can be physical health.
We were just talking, we had another podcast guest about blood pressure and stress and mental health. And, you know, and this goes back to like the body feels stress and the body, you know, reacts to stress.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's what I think is so cool about it.
Because I know where I heard it from now. I apologize. So you just came from Vegas. So UFC has a center there where it's just top notch, Ultimate Fighting Championship. It's MMA stuff. Yeah. But they have a lab there and their athletes will get measured. And there'll be days where they'll take off based off of that.
Yeah.
So it's measuring when they need rest and when they need recovery.
As soon as
so like they could go 2 days in a row and then they get the measurement that morning from whatever. And they go, today you're going to rest.
Yeah,
we don't want you running. We don't want you to do. We need you to rest today.
Like, yes. And it's become a big one too for women, female athletes, because I talked about, you know, ultradian rhythm, circadian rhythm is the most well-known biorhythm, but infradian rhythm for women, that brings in a whole other component, so that, you know, around 2 weeks or so, plus or minus out of every month, then women might have a higher body temperature, lower HRV, higher heart rate, higher respiratory rate. And so during that period, then they might want to, you know, kind of take it easy on some of their training or try to strategize what types of training.
Did you monitor yourself while you did the 75?
Oh yeah. Yes, definitely.
You did.
Oh my God. I had such great shifts. And then when I stopped, it ended right on a wedding. And I was like, this is amazing. How great. Oh, and like,
just so happened I get to dress
and all the things. And yeah, it's that type of consistency, like the body and sleep and all that, just love. But so with HRV, it's really fascinating because then there's also, we get the HRV readouts on like Loop, Oura Ring, BioStrap, yeah. You know, some of these, right? But then there's also daytime HRV trackers, which are much more, take more learning because there's a lot more noise with your HRV throughout the course of the day. Like sitting and talking is going to bring up your heart rate and lower your HRV because it's just a little more taxing just in general. Eating is going to lower your HRV. Certainly temperature is a big one.
That's what I was
So I often talk about, you know, like where you live, making your sleep environment as cool as humanly possible. Really obsessed with that one because that's too. A big one. I'll measurably see people have changes with their sleep.
What do you recommend for cool?
So, I mean, I am affiliated with.
By the way, I've seen your new place. It's all windows what you've shown on the thing. It's going to take a lot of cool off y'all's place.
Oh my God, totally. Yes, it is. It's like,
look
something.
At this view. I'm like, wait till it gets around noon. Yeah, exactly. She's gonna need some tent.
I know. So the Chili Pad, I'm a huge fan of, and I am affiliated with them. So disclosure, but
let's do it.
But they are so great. Highly recommend / sleep is a skill. But it's I really feel strongly about them because I really also appreciate that they have different tiers of options. So they have refurbished models. So no matter where you might be financially, because they still are an investment no matter where you're at, but there's different, you know, kind of price lines.
What degree do you put ambient room temperature? Because I've read 63 to 68.
Really low.
So do I.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Full disclosure, I stay in hotels.
My bed partner.
I can hang meat, man.
Oh, it's beautiful. Same.
Partner has a hard time with the cold.
Oh, I love the cold.
Where does she live?
Like a Chili Pad, if you don't have one, is so good because then they can heat it up. So she can heat it up. You can cool down.
Yeah.
Like amazing.
It's like the old school sandwich, hot side, hot, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
Molly, we are coming up. Can I borrow you for 10 more minutes?
Yes.
You
totally.
Sure?
Yes.
You positive?
Yes. No, time flies with you guys.
I want to be respectful of your time. No,
I do want to be, but I want to keep you too.
Yeah. No, I'm
but
loving
I have,
this.
You're so awesome. I do have a personal, can I ask a personal question?
Yes. Sure.
Selfishly?
Yep.
Can I be selfish?
Are you asking me or her?
Will you give me permission to be selfish?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's talk, because this is important. This happens a lot, but it happens a lot with me specifically. But I'm traveling to Europe next week.
Oh, yeah.
So give me your hacks.
Okay.
What do I need to know?
We love hacks.
And right now, here's what I'm thinking. Just tell me if I'm off or if I'm on. I'm going to go. I'm going to Italy. we're going to get adjusted, all that kind of stuff. But then obviously, we're going to go to Spain. We're hooking up with the friends and the groups. And what I've learned about Spain is they don't really start their night until midnight.
I'd never make it.
And so I'm thinking we party midnight to 6 a.m.
That's your thinking?
I'm thinking we party midnight to 6 a.m. Spain time, which 6 a.m. Spain time is like 11 p.m. Texas time.
It actually is. It's
which means I'm going to bed 6 a.m. in Spain, but then when I get home, I'm actually going to be ready to go to bed at 11 p.m. Texas time. Is that a good hack or is it not a good hack?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so how long are you going to be there?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. And do you anticipate that the whole time you'll be kind of on that schedule? No.
Probably just the 1 week in Spain. We're going to go to Italy, Spain, then France.
Okay, got it. So one, I would definitely suggest getting that time shifter app because it's so helpful because you can actually put in what you want to adjust to. So whatever you choose, if you do choose, because some people, so I was mentioning Michael Grandner, who's fantastic, great resource, just, you know, decades of information in the world of sleep. And I really appreciated one of the things he said, because he works with different elite athletes and they're traveling all over the place. Yeah. And sometimes for them, it doesn't make sense to so intensely then shift their schedules over to what they're usually doing at home, because it doesn't align with what their goals are at the place that they're at.
Correct.
So for you, the place that you're at, maybe that is the choice that you want to make. And you're like, okay, when in Rome, not really Rome, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So no, we're going to Rome, actually. We're flying
okay,
to Rome.
Then you're going to Rome. So perfect. When in Rome.
Literally, in Rome.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of, you know, maximizing if that's something that's important to you. I want the nightlife. That's part of the reason I'm going, whatever. So you can kind of program in what your desired bedtime
I'm an alcoholic. What's important? Go see
the pasta, pizza, wine.
Go visit Rome and do all this. No, I'm going to do an EDM concert.
But what's so great? So what their whole premise is that they're trying to make time shifting like a verb, essentially. So that you are in the process of time shifting even before your trip. So you put it in and then they'll give you all these questions of like what you're willing to do.
Are you air hugging somebody? I am stretching. It looks like you're actually hugging somebody.
All the
Mind the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Wizard of Oz over there. Yeah.
My goodness.
So you can use that, because what it will do is start shifting you beforehand. And so what you'll do, they're actually using the same algorithm that they use at NASA for their astronauts, because when they're shuttling through space, the sun is rising and setting every 90 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So it's super important for them to stay really aligned with their circadian rhythm so that they don't have all kinds of issues. So they set them up with really strategic lighting, really strategic temperature, food timing, all of that. So that's what kind of comes out in that app in a really nicely designed way too. So I highly suggest that. But what we'll also be having you do is doing some weird things. So some of the weird things you'll be doing is, if say you're time shifting and it wants you on that app during your flight to be pretending it's daytime and everyone else is sleeping, you're going to be the guy that has lights on over you that probably people aren't not happy about. Maybe you'll open up the windows, the shades. You can even, this is a time to even encourage blue light from your phone or what have you, because you're trying to mimic daytime as much as possible. Or if it's you want to have it be night and everyone else is, you know, doing all the things they're doing, they're eating, it's light, whatever. You are wearing hats, you're wearing blue blockers. You're kind of covering as much of your skin from the exposure to all that lighting. And then you're trying to kind of mimic sleeping, even if you're not someone that can necessarily sleep super well in a flight.
Yeah.
You're trying to just kind of create that, even to lower your heart rate and kind of make your brain think that you had that period of reprieve, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're like freaking awesome.
This is good stuff.
Thank you. Well, I so appreciate you guys. I feel like this is just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface.
I'm going to tell you.
It really is, but go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, how blessed are we that she's in Austin?
No, we're incredibly blessed.
And I mean, as a sleep community.
And I know, I know there's only so much we can do. I'll stop touching the mic. Sorry. there's only so much we can talk about in the time that we have, but we've touched on, we've scratched the surface on a lot of really cool things that I think is fodder for future conversation.
Absolutely.
But also maybe a preview to kind of what you can do and how you can help people that are looking for help.
Yeah.
So, please tell us how people can find you. Yes. Where do they look? Social medias, websites, podcasts.
Great, follow.
Give us all the information.
Amazing follow on Instagram. Yes. And, amazing.
And let's get that information out there so that people can find you.
Okay. Yeah. Sleepisaskill.com really can act as a bucket for all kinds of things. So essentially, once you get there, you can take a sleep assessment and get sort of tailored information back about what you're dealing with around your sleep, however it might look. And then it can also sign you up for our weekly newsletter. We're at 200 and I think 5 or 6 or something editions of that every Monday. So that has just been really a fun kind of project. And we actually encourage people to respond to that, share some of your stats or what have you. We're happy to add that in. And then in addition to that, so you are getting our weekly podcast information. So we have different sleep experts. And so we go in deeper. So lots of free information that you can start with there. If you are really struggling and you want to, or you're just, you know, excited about this topic, then we do have different types of programs. So we have a new offering that we added on. It's called Sleep 360. It does all of these require an Oura Ring. But so with that, you essentially, you share your Oura Ring data. We give you 2 weeks worth of kind of training material and assignments and all kinds of stuff that you do before, including sending over your pictures of your sleep environment and all kinds of activities. And then we go through that information together, kind of on a sleep breakdown. So that's one. We have a 10-week sleep training program that we go through. That's also Oura Ring based. So that's kind of a group program. So you see how we're all doing together. And then we do have one-on-one options for people that maybe, you know, I work with a lot of kind of high performance individuals that are traveling all the time. And then we get really in the weeds on like what you're talking about, about the strategy and how to manage all the things that they're managing with their sleep. So lots of different options.
How about if they want you to come speak? Molly, I'm really curious. Like, well, do you do that? Do you go on? And I mean, I'm interested.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. So it's been really exciting because actually, a big bulk of we did experience a big balloon during the pandemic, which because then that's when we released our podcast on March 13th, 2020. And so, you know, like the days before the world ended. So which is actually in the realm of sleep, really brought a lot of interest because then suddenly people had like, I guess, the time or the wherewithal they want to look at this. So that really brought up a lot. So we moved from a lot of virtual to now, within the last year, much more live talks, which has been great. And actually we're putting together, I don't want to jinx it, but what looks like a little tour of Asia for the speaking, kind of series with some kind of chapters over there of some different, kind of programs. Like, I don't want to, again, jinx it, but it's looking like that could be happening. So really excited. Any way that we can get out this topic, and I know you all are so passionate about this too. So I'm excited to join forces because the more I really do feel like I'm on a mission to share how we can bring about this as a regular conversation and together make, you know, some of the things that I'm requesting of people are weird and out there. And I'm saying like, oh, let's end our meal times like grandma and let's, you know, let's wear blue blockers. Let's do certain, you know, all of these things. And the more people that we have along on this journey, I think it can just really transform things.
By far. And this will be the final statement. I'll say you have the best sleep podcast out there. And we do a podcast, but they're just two different things. By far, Molly, and it's my humble opinion, by far the best.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I'm so excited because you guys are going to come on ours, which I'm really, definitely honored. Because I love how you described this podcast of this ability to kind of get people in this conversation, no matter where they're at, meeting them where they're at. I mean, just awesome. Yeah, so really great.
And it was cool to have all of us podcasters together in one room. That was cool.
Yes, totally.
Dan, we always end with a Dan quote. Do you have anything, Dan? Here we go.
Dan.
First of all.
I know. I mean, it's such a layered topic for sure. And time and a place. And I don't deal with people dealing with narcolepsy. So it's a whole other area. And that's often, you know, one of the things that they'll utilize. Some people speak to it as the limitless pill. And
they're like, I do.
Yeah, well, I think it's just important to...
You had more questions? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I think one of the important things to remember about that is the fact that one of the elements that it works on is that histamine side of things. And we've also seen, this is now getting into the weeds a bit more, but any over-the-counter sleep aid that you often see is usually has some form of antihistamine within it to help make that drowsy effect. So then anything that's going to do the opposite and raise histamine, obviously we want to be mindful of that because it might affect our sleep wake cycle. I would be mindful of that. And I would also be tracking with anything like that and see, is that affecting other metrics too? Oh, sure. Yes. I am not. Oh my God. I'm such a fan.
Wait, that was four questions right there. You just asked, does she know him? Is he a friend?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
I just met someone who apparently might be getting sponsored or might be a part of what he's doing on his show. So, you know, it's a lot of that kind of couple degrees of separation.
7 degrees of
Really respect what he's doing. Oh, really appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just wild. And I also just saw that picture of him with the tats. Did you see that? The full sleeve.
Yeah, that's why he always wears long sleeves. Yeah.
Yes, and I knew it had been alluded, but I never seen them, you know, in their glory. And
I love when he was rolling around with Lex, and that's when I first saw him. Yeah, Lex put him in a rear naked choke. He's like, and I, whoa, he's covered. I can't stand tattoos. I think they're disgusting.
Oh, that was HRV.
That's HRV.
Oh, so you were like, oh my God, help, alert. I know. I saw you did. Yeah. Okay. No. HRV. Yeah. I should definitely clarify.
That means 11 from the baseline. Yeah.
No. His HRV itself was 11. So you can, you know, have a whole range, right? Yeah. So I'm not sure what, do you all know your ranges? I don't know
my personal ranges, but I know how they score. So,
sure. Sure. So, you know, a common number might be whatever in the 30s, 40s, 50s, right? And so you get your average, but then when it dips more into those lower numbers or single digits, we might want to take a look if that's far deviation.
Got it.
Dan, any more questions?
Oh.
Remember, she used the aura ring.
I know. But she...
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think one... I'll be, I'm really eager for a lot of these more diagnostic grade, you know, tools to be able to be available for the general public. I mean, I think Sleep Image so far is one of the closest that you can see for that.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's still, it's not consumer grade. It's not everyone's using that. So I think that there's a possibility for more of that to be coming in that range, but then also, there's things like Ultrahuman. I don't know if they just released like the other day, but they're bringing kind of a metabolic function into also sleep tracking. So I anticipate seeing the ability for us to be able to look at glucose because we didn't talk about that, but that's a huge element that can often impact wake ups or your ability to fall asleep. 100%. So you see people with CGMs. So right now we're having to stack things together. So it's like you wear a CGM and then you bring that info and then and you overlay that with your Oura Ring data. And maybe if you're doing daytime.
I thought at the ASM, I saw something where they could compatible.
Well, yeah, the CGM and the ring. Glucose monitoring is a huge, that's the levels is coming out. And, Dave Sinclair talks about that and continues monitoring glucose spikes and how that impacts longevity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So like the Ultrahuman is one that just came out. So that would be a ring kind of pathway into that. I'm actually talking to their company, I think next week. So going to learn more about kind of the back end of that. There's BioStrap has a new form that's coming out for them, a new model. So we'll see what's on there. Whoop has added on the blood oxygen readout. So, Whoop can be really helpful for athletes with the strain piece of it. And certainly they also have the sleep component. So there's just so many that have things that are great about their offering. There's still a missing for the brain-based sleep tracking. So there had been Muse or Dream for a while, Zio a million years ago. But we haven't really seen anyone.
Well, Elon's going to do that when he puts that thing.
Yes, when he skipped right through it. Yes.
So we're going to do that.
Yeah, a little Neuralink.
We got it. You've been so good. I could ask more questions.
I know. Oh, I know. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes. Molly, you're awesome.
Appreciate you being here. I really am looking forward to working with you.
Yeah.
Having you here in Austin. So we'll definitely hook up more.
Yeah.
But
Molly, thank you so much for sleeping around with Dr. Brandon Matthew. You're a rock star.
Get over it.
Awesome. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, exactly.
Molly.
When the sun goes down and the moon is high, we'll be